Morning and welcome back from Christmas break. Sunday school lesson this Sunday is Matthew 5, 1 to 12, the Beatitudes. This can be a little bit of a tricky section, maybe even especially for the younger kids, but it's also a very rich and wonderful section. We'll try and do our best to show the kids the joyful and wonderful gospel that permeates these Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are not only tricky for Sunday school, but they're also really tricky even for adults. We have a tendency to view them, by virtue of our sinful human nature, as if-then statements, which really they are not. So a lot of people view them as, if you are poor in spirit, then you will receive the kingdom of heaven. That really is not at all what Christ is saying. It's kind of like that picture you see online sometimes, which can look like a rabbit or a duck, depending on how you look at it. And when you see it one way, it's really, really hard sometimes to force your brain to see it in the other way. And so because in our sinful nature, we often see the Beatitudes as though Christ is saying, if you are poor in spirit, then the kingdom of heaven is yours. It can be difficult for us to kind of force our mind to readjust, to recognize what it is that Christ is actually saying. But we pray that the Lord would open our hearts and minds and help us to do that. So, if they're not if-then statements, then what are they? Well, there's three things to keep in mind, I think, about the Beatitudes. The first is that the term that starts all of them, blessed are, is not an if statement, but a promise of a gift from God. That's what the term blessed means. It means God is going to give this gift. So all of the Beatitudes, everything that is received, kind of in the second part of the Beatitudes, needs to be viewed as a gift from God. Now, this leads directly into the second thing that we need to always remember about the Beatitudes, is that this gift is received not because we are poor in spirit. It's not a reward, for example, for being poor in spirit, but it is a gift that God gives to help out, kind of, or it is a gift that God gives, and he's telling us, if you find yourself in this situation, which can be a difficult situation to be in, this is seen more clearly in the last Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted, right? We don't go out and look for persecution, but when we find ourselves in that situation, that we are persecuted for his sake, we can still rejoice because we know the gifts that God is going to give us, the gift of eternal life and forgiveness of sins. And so that is really what's behind all the Beatitudes. It's not Christ saying, if you do this, then you will receive this. But he's saying, when you do this or when you find yourself in this situation and it's a difficult thing to do or it's a difficult situation to be in, don't get down, don't give up, don't, you know, kind of become hopeless, but even in these situations, look forward with joy to these things that you know are yours. And so, for example, when we lose somebody that we love, you know, somebody that we know and love dies, we're not happy that they died. And as a pastor, I don't say, hey, you know, you should be happy your husband or your child or your mother or father die. You should be happy about that. No, it's not a good thing that they're gone from us, but even in that sorrow, there is something to rejoice and be glad in, namely that they've gone to be with the Lord. We don't want them to leave us, but when they do, we can find joy in our sadness in this other thing. And so that's the way to look at these Beatitudes. When we are in this difficult situation, we can find comfort and joy because we know the blessings or the gifts that Christ is going to give to us. Let's go through them one at a time here and kind of look at them. Matthew chapter 5, we'll begin with verse 1. When he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, because the kingdom of heaven is theirs." So this is the poor in spirit means really Jesus is talking about our attitude to God. And other religions, in the most part, teach us to be rich in spirit. In other words, they teach us to do good deeds or to do other things that we can then take before God and kind of use them as bartering chips. Lord, I did this or I did that, or look at what a good person I am. Therefore, I want this or that from you. So any other religion in the world kind of teaches us to barter with God. Make sure that you have, if you're not maybe rich in spirit, make sure you at least have something that you can bring before God to kind of barter with him. But Jesus says that's not going to work. You can't barter before God. Blessed instead are those who come before him in poverty. Nothing in my hands I bring, only to thy cross I cling. And so again, this fits in very well with what I was saying before. When we find ourselves filled with sin, when we look back on ourselves and realize, oh, there's nothing good in my life. There's nothing I've done that's really worth anything. That's, in one respect, that's not really a good thing. We don't want to be sinful people, but looking at our lives and recognizing the truth that that is who we are, we still rejoice not in the fact that we are such sinful beings. We don't rejoice in that, but we rejoice in the fact that even though we are poor in spirit, even though we are such sinful human beings, nevertheless, Christ died for our sins and Christ gives us the kingdom of heaven anyway. So we come before him in that poverty, that recognition of what we truly are. We have nothing to bring you, and we rejoice in the gift of the kingdom of heaven that he gives to us. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And again, here's a situation where this is very clearly not something that we strive for. Some of the Beatitudes are things we should strive to be and to do. But again, that's not why we receive the blessing. But here, this isn't something we strive for. We don't try to be mournful. We don't need to. That was kind of a common idea for the Pietists, right? Well, you can't be happy. You can't laugh. You can't have any good thing in this life. If you're very sad your whole life, then God will bless you. No, that's not Jesus's point. But Jesus's point, rather, is a promise that, well, there will be many times when we are mournful in this life, when we are sad, when we have tribulation and suffering we have to go through. And the Lord says, in those times, in those occasions, I promise to bless you. I promise to give you this blessing that I will send my Holy Spirit to be with you and to comfort you. And so even when we are in sad, mournful situations, we can look for this promise that Christ gives us, the sending of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to be with us and comfort us. Verse 5, blessed are the gentle, because they will inherit the earth. And the New King James says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I just realized I'm not reading the New King James. I probably should be. That's the version we're more familiar with. But anyway, blessed are the meek, blessed are the gentle, same thing. Notice that the first beatitude talked about our attitude before God. We come before God in a poor spirit, recognizing that we have nothing of value to bring before him. In this beatitude is very similar, except it's before our fellow men. So just as we recognize that we have nothing to bring before God, so also when we're dealing with one another, we are meek, we are humble. We recognize that we have no great thing to give to them, but we are sinners just like them, and we come before them with that same poverty of spirit. And you can see this in the blessing. In the first one, the poor in spirit, they receive, we come before God in poverty, and we receive the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, His world. In this one, we are meek before one another, recognizing that we're no better than others, and esteeming and loving them, recognizing the gifts that God has given to them, not trying to puff ourselves up, recognizing that God has given to us gifts, and He's also given to them gifts, and we inherit the earth. So this is talking about our attitude towards our fellow men, and the blessing that God gives to us then is this world, this earth, although He is still, of course, talking about that life to come. He's not promising us that we will rule in this sinful earth. We won't. Those who are meek do not receive power and authority and rule in this world. And this world is a dog-eat-dog world. You want to get ahead? You have to step on your competitors. You have to prove that you're better. And so that's the natural tendency in this world. That we want to get ahead, so we have to step on other people. But God says that, well, instead be meek, esteem others better than yourselves, and I will bless you with the world to come, the earth in the world to come. Again, not because you are meek, we don't deserve this, but when you are meek and other people take advantage of that, find comfort in the fact and don't stop being meek because others are taking advantage of you, but rather find comfort in the fact that the Lord will bless you and give you the world to come. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And this is one of my favorite. I just love the image here. We all hunger and thirst for food and water when we don't have it, right? You go a day without food, or you go half a day working in the hot sun without water, and you have that deep, deep desire, that deep hunger. You really want it. You really need it. And Christ takes that image, and now He uses it for our spiritual thirst and hunger, those who desire deeply the righteousness of God, who know they don't have it, who look at their lives and see how sinful it is, and desire to be different, desire for a better life. Christ says, rejoice in that desire. Don't give up in that desire. Don't think, well, I might as well just accept sin because I keep sinning and I can't seem to get away from it. So I might as well just accept this is who I am. Christ says, no, you know, desire that hunger or that righteousness because I will give it to you. And again, that's a gift that comes from Christ and is given to us because of His death and resurrection, not because we find a way to earn or deserve it or to grow into it. So, and it's a good thing to desire that righteousness in our life. The Lord will fill us with that righteousness because of His death and His forgiveness. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And notice how contrary not only this, but all these Beatitudes are to natural human thinking. Mercy is contrary not only to human nature, being merciful to others, not only contrary to human nature, but it's contrary to nature in general. As we said before, we live in a dog-eat-dog world. If you're a predator and you're merciful, you're going to not eat, right? I was just reading a book about World War II, and there was a captain in there who, you know, they were fighting the Germans, and he had a German soldier was on the ground before him, and he was about to shoot the German soldier, and the German soldier pleaded for mercy, and the captain didn't shoot him. He had mercy on him. He didn't shoot him, and the German soldier took that opportunity, grabbed his gun, and shot not the captain, but the captain's friend. And so in the book, the captain is really struggling with this, like, I had mercy on this guy and he killed my friend and now my friend is dead. And he's kind of going through this attitude like, well, you know, I learned my lesson. I'm not going to be merciful anymore. to any Germans. And that's not, it's not just true in war. It's true in this life that a lot of times other people are going to take advantage of our mercy. It happens all the time. You know, you try and help somebody out. You try and give money to a homeless person or food or water and drink to somebody. And people take advantage of that. People who aren't really homeless or don't really need it will find out that you're merciful and try and take advantage of you. But Christ's words here are teaching us, don't give up being merciful just because so many sinful people are going to take advantage of this. Don't let that distract you from your desire to be merciful to others, because you will receive mercy from God. That's the implication here. You will be shown mercy, and it's not from our fellow men. It's the blessing is from God. All these blessings are from God. You will be shown mercy from God, even if other men don't. And again, it's not you're going to be shown mercy because you were merciful, but rather it's you are going to be shown mercy. That is something God is going to do for you. You are forgiven in Christ. And so therefore, take heart in showing mercy to other people. Don't let their sinfulness destroy the mercy in your heart. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And again, this is, again, like all the Beatitudes, this is so clearly contrary to the philosophy of this world. Very often you hear, especially today, well, you have to experience it. You need to experience all the things that life has to offer, including all the sinful things that life has to offer. And they even make fun of people who don't join with them in sinful activities, right? When you don't smoke, when you don't do drugs, when you don't go out and get drunk, when you don't sleep around with other people before you are married, you get criticized and made fun of and looked down on in this world. Like you're a goody two-shoes, like there's something wrong with you, like you're missing out on something because you're not experiencing the pleasures of this world. And so again, the Lord is saying, don't be disheartened when you are trying to follow my word, when you are trying to keep your hearts pure, don't become disheartened. The Lord will give you this blessing. You will be able to see God. And of course, it's only the pure in heart that can see God. No one who is filled with sin can stand before God. But ultimately, the purity of heart that allows us to stand before God is not our own purity, but the purity that Christ gives to us. And it's because he washes us in his blood that we are then pure and are therefore able to stand before God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Nobody likes the guy or the girl who kind of gets in the way, who meddles, right? If you have a spat with somebody and somebody kind of steps in the way and kind of tells you, well, you shouldn't be angry with someone for this, or you should forgive them or something like that. And then a lot of times you get angry at that person. What do you know, right? Stop meddling in things that aren't your affair. And of course, we do need to be careful about meddling in situations or in affairs that we don't know what we're talking about and are none of our business. So there is that side of things that we do have to be careful about this. But nevertheless, the Lord does want us to help our, when it's appropriate, our friends, our neighbors, our fellow Christians, to help them to make peace rather than to be angry and bitter with one another. And the other thing here too is that helping to make peace often means sacrificing something yourself. You know, sometimes the way to make peace is to give up something yourself. If you're growing up and with three brothers and your other two brothers are arguing over a toy, you know, one of the ways to make peace would be to give one of the other two brothers your toy so they don't have to fight over the second toy anymore. It's just an example. And so again, being a peacemaker often means sacrificing something yourself. It often means people are not happy with you. But again, the Lord doesn't want us to be discouraged in trying to do this good thing. He reminds us that, well, I will give you this. You give up your toy for your brother, I will give you this blessing. You will be called the Son of God. And again, it's not an if-then statement. The way I'm explaining this, I realize sometimes it's coming across that way. If you do this, I will do that. But that's not what God's saying. He's saying, I will give you this blessing of being called the sons of God. So don't be discouraged in being a peacemaker. Give up your toy gladly because you know you have something better. Not if you give up your toy, but you know you have something better. Therefore, be happy to be a peacemaker. Because you have this better blessing that you are the Son of God. And then the last two I'll kind of take together because they're very similar. Verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness because the kingdom of heaven is theirs. And verses 11 and 12. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and falsely say every kind of evil against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice because your reward is great in heaven. For that is how they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And again, this last beatitude really brings to the forefront some of the things I've been saying. This isn't something we should strive for. We don't go out and look for persecution. Some of the beatitudes are things we should strive for. We should strive to be peacemakers. We should strive to be merciful, right? But this one is clearly not something that we should strive for. But when it does happen to us, that we are persecuted. We can take comfort, we can find joy, even in that persecution, in the knowledge that the kingdom of heaven is ours. Again, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did for us. And so even in that sorrow, even in that suffering, we rejoice in the fact that the kingdom of God is ours. And that's true about all the benedictions. Even those benedictions that talk about things we should strive for, so we should strive to be pure in heart. Again, it's not saying, if you strive hard enough for this, then I will give you this. But rather, it's saying, when you are this, when you do this, whether it's something you strive for or whether it's something that just happens to you, rejoice, even in that suffering, even in that difficulty, because here is the blessing that God gives you. And notice something else that these last benedictions really bring to the forefront is that all of these are true in Christ. The Lord makes that very clear at this last one. When you are persecuted for my sake, on behalf of me, when you're persecuted in Christ, when you're poor in spirit in Christ, it's true across the board about these benedictions. The blessings that God promises us, including the blessings of these benedictions, are only available to us in Christ. And so we receive all of these in Christ. Somebody who is a peacemaker or who outwardly may seem very merciful and gentle, and yet isn't repenting and coming to Christ in faith, does not have God's blessings. And therefore, even no matter how much they may look outwardly like a peacemaker or a merciful person, without Christ, the benedictions are not theirs. All of these are ours because Christ died for us. And so we rejoice in that. We rejoice in these blessings that God gives us in Christ, and because we have these blessings in Christ, we try our best to be gentle, to be merciful. We look for with hope for the righteousness that comes from Christ and for the kingdom of heaven that God has promised us in Christ. Lord's blessings on your Sunday school lesson. Let me know if you have any questions.